Yesterday we were celebrating one of our church members' birthday. He's not here this morning, I think it's because of the fatigue of the celebration. But it was nice. I could see in his eyes that he was surprised. I wish I would see the family members and say to them, that was well done. Because he had no clue whatsoever what was coming. But I'm glad for him. He enjoyed that day. Leaving the celebration aside, are you a Real Madrid supporter? Or Atletico Madrid? No. Ipswich. Shame. They were not in the Champions League. They were also celebrating in a different style. But we are also, in this week, going to celebrate in a different style. My wife said to me, if you want to achieve something, do it the way you've never done it before. Usually, when it's not a family service, I preach from there. But because of my wife's instructions, I want to do it differently. I'll preach from here this morning. So because it is a week of celebration, what are we celebrating about? Jesus' resurrection, going back to heaven, leaving those instructions to his disciples. Some of you might say, well, it's supposed to be Sunday. Well, I want your permission this morning. There's only 4 days before 40 days of Jesus preaching to his disciples after resurrection. So I thought, well, as my brothers and sisters, with your love before our Lord, I will preach it earlier. So I brought it today so that we can celebrate the ascension of Jesus. But let's face it. It happened 2,000 years ago. We are doing a sort of a remembrance or commemoration of what has happened already. So, in that way, you'll excuse me for bringing it early. Yes, I know it could have been Sunday, but we've got family service next Sunday. So that's why I brought today. Right, this morning, what we've just read is a story of Jesus when, after he was crucified, after resurrection, some of his disciples were still doubting what was happening around them. You remember the two guys who were walking on the road to Emmaus? They met a stranger who was talking to them. They didn't even know it was Jesus until at that table. Thanks. So, with that trend, Jesus is now teaching his disciples. For 40 days, he was teaching them. Even if you are so thick, 40 days of Christly doctrine, day in, day out, day in. I tell you, by the end of 40 days, you'll be a genius. So 40 days is quite a lot of time. But now, we might blame the disciples, but we might also be part of the blame. Because sometimes, it looks like our ears are so stuffed with cotton wool. We need to take the cotton wool out to let this Jesus message go to people. Now, Dr. Luke, when he was writing, I'm glad Dr. Luke was an eyewitness. He was following the disciples. He was following Jesus where he was going. And it was an eyewitness who was writing. So here again, he says, Theophilus. In the book of Luke again, he writes to Theophilus. It sounds like he's writing to the individual. You can also be Theophilus this morning. Why am I saying so? Because he says, Theophilus, this name means those who love God. Amen. So we want to change your birth certificate. You're going to be Theophilus this morning. Because you love God. But if you don't love God, well, exclude this name from your birth certificate. So, yes, that's all right, Rosemary, but I'm only giving an example that this name, it means those who love God. So we all love God this morning. So when they listened to what Jesus Christ was teaching them, they sent or they took the message to the four corners of the world. I tell you, at the beginning of the century, Christianity was like veiled fire. Do you agree with me? Christianity was like veiled fire. I still remember when I was young, when I was growing up, I remember, even up to now as I speak in my native country, there is a place where they call London Missionary Society. Those from Zimbabwe, they can witness for me. There is a place called London Missionary Society. Why is that? People from this country were spreading the word. People from this country went abroad spreading the word. But listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. We are in reverse ministry now. We are in reverse mission, okay? We are no longer sending missionaries abroad. We need missionaries at home. Hallelujah. Why am I saying so? Because we have forsaken God. Why am I saying so, Rosemary? Look at the chairs this morning. Why are you seated on your own on the front row? Yeah, but Ron is not going to sit on all these chairs. My point is, the church family is shrinking. Are you agreeing with me? The church family is shrinking. Are we sending that message of that day with Jesus, with his disciples, when he was saying, right, I want you to be the witnesses. Okay? He sent these disciples and they took the message. Are we going to take the message? Exactly. We need to take the message. This message must go. So that's why I said the reverse mission. We're no longer sending missionaries abroad. We need missionaries at home to send this message. We need these missionaries here. So my theme today is, don't be a blockage, be the passage. Hallelujah. I've got this corn, it's not from the toilet. I know with health and safety, you're not allowed to use the corn from the toilet. This one is from a kitchen roll. So, I've got this corn here with me. Just imagine a hose pipe. We want to water your garden. You connect to a water tap. The water runs through it to your flowers or to your lawn. Okay? When you close your tap, the water doesn't run through. Right. Your water is running through. And if you put your hand there at the end of the hose pipe, what happens? Hallelujah. I'm glad you answered that. I didn't say that. This is the passage. If water is going through, if you put your hand there, the water won't come through. It is the same applies also with my theme this morning. Don't be a blockage, but be a passage. God is already in the world in his mission. What is he looking for? He's looking for partnership with you and me to take that message as he's going. There are three P's that I want to preach to you this morning. One of them is promise. One of them is power. One of them is purpose. Okay? The promise of God, as I've read from the book of Ezekiel, this spirit that he spoke long ago for the children of Israel. The apostles, they didn't come yet. But now on this day, after 40 days, I think maybe they'd even forgotten about this. Being children of Israel, they should have the scrolls within them. They knew the words if they hadn't forgotten like the apostles had done. But Jesus now is reminding them that, no, this is not a new thing. My father spoke about it. You remember, your ancestors were told that my spirit will be amongst them. In the book of Joel as well, he says, I will pour my spirit on men and women. They will prophesy. So this thing is not new. But God, Jesus is now reminding them, no, guys, it's not a new thing. This thing is old. But you don't listen. So that is the promise that God spoke long ago. In the book of John also, Jesus says, I will ask the Father to give another counselor. Amen. So as he's ascending this week, we are not going to be orphans, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to ask the Father to send a counselor. And he won't live next door. The counselor is going to come into you. I'm preaching to someone this morning. For the counselor to come into you, you must accept Jesus as your Savior. He doesn't force it on you, but he's asking. accept me as your Savior. He says in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, those who know Jesus, right? He is the bread of life. If you eat this bread of life, you won't go hungry again. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty again. Who wants to be thirsty? Who wants to be hungry? I don't want, so I want to eat Jesus. So this promise that we are celebrating this week, Father promised years back in the Israelites' ancestors, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. So, in front of us, we've got a very important task of this promise. When we hear the news about the promise, we are not to sit on that promise. We need to tell the person next to us. Why? Because God has done something marvelous. Very soon, two of my daughters will be graduating, and they've been texting each other. My second born received her marks for her dissertation, and she was worried when her friends were receiving her the news. And she texts me, "Dad, I haven't received my results." I said, "Don't panic. They are still going to send them to you." A few hours later, she received her results, and she came back to me, "Oh, Dad," now she had a smile, "I've just received my results, and it's a true one." I said, "What did I say to you?" I said, "Don't panic." So when you receive good news, what do? You pass it on, isn't it? Yes. So when you receive good news, you pass it on. So we are also going to pass on the good news of God's promise. God promised this Spirit, and now Jesus is saying, it's happening, and it's happening now. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's happening now because I'm going to the Father. He's going to send you the counselor. Now listen what Jesus does. Observe the three things just Jesus did. Christ prayed for the Spirit. John 14, verse 16. If you've got a Bible near you, we'll go there together. It's going to be like a Bible study this morning. If you are there on John 14, verse 16, I'll read to you. It's the same verse we've been talking about. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." That's a promise. That's Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to John 20, verse 22. If you are there, I'll read again on that one. This is what Jesus says. This is what Jesus does. "And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. He's fulfilling what the Father said. My Spirit will be on them. Don't you want that Spirit to be on you? Everyone wants that Spirit. Let's go to John 7 and see what happens there. John 7, verse 39. If you are there, I'll read for you. "But this he meant, the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to this time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." So this week is the week to glorify Jesus. When Jesus has been glorified, we will all receive that Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So don't be a blockage. Be a passage. Ha! Don't stand in God's way. If you stand in God's way, there's a man in the Bible, he stood in God's way. And you know what happened? They wrestled with God throughout the night. And when dawn was approaching, God said, "Let me go." And this man said, "Can you bless me?" He had a dislocation on his hip. The Bible says up to now, the Israelites don't eat that ligament attached to the hip because of that incident. So if you stand in God's way, you want to wrestle God's way, you'll have a dislocation. Be careful whom you wrestle. I don't know how Jacob knew that it was God, because they were wrestling all night and he didn't ask who it was. And in the morning, he said, "May you bless me." You didn't even ask who I am. So at the back of his mind, he knew he was wrestling God. Most of the time we do it purposely, thinking we are clever. We are wrestling God. How do we wrestle God? By blocking his message. By not observing what we are supposed to observe as believers. So, be a passage, not a blockage. Christ poured out the Spirit. We've heard in John 7, verse 39, that is what happened. In John 16, verse 7, there's something again coming from there. 16, verse 7, what does it say? "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Hallelujah. So as we celebrate this week of Jesus' ascension, this is the point of his going to the Father. So that the counselor can come and live with us. My brothers, my sisters, when you are going through hardships, don't worry, you are not alone. The counselor is with you in there. You're suffering, you're not suffering alone. The counselor who lives in you walks with you. And do you know what? Sometimes hardships keeps us closer to God. When everything is going rosy, there is no God, we are clever. We can do it on our own. Really? Let suffering come your way. Let illness come through your way. You will be on your knees praying. But if everything is going smooth sailing, we throw God through the window. So the disciples were thinking of the worldly power, but Jesus was not about the worldly power. He was speaking about the power of the Holy Spirit that will be in you. You will do different things differently. We are not talking about political power here. We are talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit enables you to love other people. The power of the Holy Spirit enables you to do good things. When you talk of political power, listen what political power does. We don't need political power because it changes the outside of a person, but not the inside. Holy Spirit's power changes someone who is inside, who is very important. Because when Jesus came, he came to save the person inside, not the one outside us. That's why we don't worry about politics. Let the politicians chase their political power on this earth. We don't need that. Political power doesn't save life. Political power saves the outside body. Political power corrupts you. Political power takes you away from God. This is why you heard us earlier on, we need to pray for our leaders as well, because they need the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I feel pity for Cameron. A few weeks ago, he stood up and said, "This is a Christian nation." Oh, boy, did he knew what was coming before him? There was tweeting, messaging, "This is not a Christian country, this is a secular country." Christians, where were you? Not standing with Cameron. We should have stood up together with him. "Yeah, Cameron, this is a Christian country." But we left him there to hang in the public domain because he declared this country a Christian country. This is where we were needed. Were we not blocking that message of the Holy Spirit? Before you're realizing you are blocking that message, Cameron stood. He wanted your support. But we all cowered away because the secular world was more powerful than us. But you know what was happening? It was only for the outside person. The inside person is still waiting for the Holy Spirit. Cameron was speaking on behalf of the inside person. We are a Christian nation. That will not change before God, because he's the creator of this world. Power that we need is the power of the Holy Spirit to speak the truth. That's the power we need. I don't need to be a politician. Shame to my wife. Last week, she dragged me to go and vote. I didn't want to go. She said, "Gilson, come, let's go." I said, who are you going to vote? Are you going to vote for Labour or Nigel Farage? He said, come on, let's go. But I tell you what, I for one, at the back of my mind, I think we need a leader like Nigel Farage in this country. We want to go back to God. We want people to go back to God. He was speaking facts. Look, he was not campaigning, but the press was campaigning for him. Look what has he done. So we need a leader like him who speaks the truth and he stands for the truth. We want a leader who stands for the Lord. We want a leader who is not going to block this message that we are talking about now. Maybe if we change leadership, Nigel Farage will declare this is a Christian country. Hallelujah. If you don't like him, well, tough luck. But I'm speaking on behalf of Christians. We want someone who stands with his message, who stands with what he speaks. Okay? I'm not speaking on political grounds here. I'm speaking on the message of God. If we declare this country a Christian country, we want a leader who is going to stand with that. He goes to parliament and says, this is a Christian country. If you don't like it, the borders are open. Look in Arab countries. If they say, this is not a Christian country, that goes. You cannot oppose them. So we want a leader who is going to say, we are a Christian country. That message mustn't be blocked. Hallelujah. So what is your purpose? Your purpose is to be that credible witness. Amen. Are you that witness this morning? Are you that witness this morning? There are three things that a witness should do. One, a witness tells what he knows. Two, a witness shares what he has experienced. Three, a witness remains loyal to the end. Irrespective of what comes your way, remain loyal to the end. Whether they want to persecute you, Christ said, be careful, it's coming. It's not going to be easy. You will be persecuted for my case. Pick your cross and follow me. What did it mean? It meant suffering as well. This is the time to suffer for Christ. But how can people know what's happening before they are even told? Romans chapter 10, 17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Amen. So how can people know about this message when we are afraid to go and tell them? Are we being a passage or a blockage to the message? Finally, as I conclude, the promise of God is that he will pour out his spirit on us, that we will receive power and show our purpose on earth when we've received power. You and me have received that power. Are we showing that purpose of the spirit? Are we using that power right now to send the message through? Are we witnessing? How do we witness? Sometimes the way we behave, the way we act, it's not necessarily about preaching. Apostle Paul talks about different gifts that we have. So there's no excuse. And God himself appointed different people in the church. So we put together for that message to reach all corners of the world. Listen to this. You can only be a witness on earth, not in heaven. In heaven there's glory. There's righteousness there. Those who refuse to be witness on this earth won't even go to heaven. They've got their own place. I don't want to name it here. But they are going somewhere. When we get to heaven, it's all praising God and praying. So you can only witness on this earth. You know why you are not in heaven this morning? Because Jesus left you like he did the disciples, so that you can be a witness. So are you a witness this morning? Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you